Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. And our top story today, cable channels are fading into ghost networks. Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Murray Woronoff is with Ad Taxi. Murray, it's so great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Oh, great to be here. Thank you.
And I really, you know, this is so interesting from a lot of perspectives for me, and having been a child where there were actually three networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, a lot has changed over the last three, four decades. Streaming has really become in vogue. And I want to start off by asking you, how important to people is streaming versus the traditional cable networks that we've all come to know and love?
In a short sentence, the most important. I'm with you. I start most of my TV stories with Once Upon a Time, when there were three networks. And on average, they each got a 33 share, or one third of everyone viewing. And then Fox, and then WB, and then UPN, and then cable came. And cable in its heyday was in two thirds of all homes. And that was it, right? Today, based on our report, we were saying that the percent of adults 18 plus who are streaming, whether it's connected TV or on a mobile device of some sort, past 80%. As a matter of fact, just 2 weeks ago, I saw the updated data with the most current 6 months included, and it's now 84%. And if you look at something like cable, less than roughly a third of all adults have cable, and that's half of what it was in its heyday. What's going on is not just a change in consumer behavior. It's an evolution of the entire TV and video content field. It's just unreal. Yeah. Streaming today dominates. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, I mean, so many people have these devices, and it's almost like you can have, even if you're partnered with somebody, you have a family, you can have your own library, your own list of things that you watch relative to your family. And I think that's very powerful, and it's probably very powerful for advertisers, I would think, to be able to target specific demographics and knowing that here's a spouse age 18 to 25, whatever the demo is, and be able to serve them a particular ad.
Oh, you're not kidding. The power we as TV and video content consumers have is unreal. You mentioned, being able to target and whatnot. I find this amazing, but not unexpected. When we talk about the silent generation, right? Those 79 years of age and older, when you ask them, what type of ads do you respond to? You know, number one, direct mail. Number two, newspaper circulars. Number three, TV, cable, and satellite TV, and that's all grouped together as one category. But when you start going down in age, like baby boomers, all of a sudden, the digital entity pops into the top three. Search is now one of the top three types of ads baby boomers respond to, and they're between the ages of 60 and 78. Then you move down to Gen X, who's 40 to 59. So now we're getting into a key demographic for TV and cable of adults 25-54. The number one type of ad these people respond to is a search ad. Number two is an ad on that mobile device you were just holding up in either an app or a text message. Number three is streaming TV. Now let's go under 40. For those 18 to 24, and 25 to 39. So now we're in the 18 to 49 year old key demo. And when it comes to branding, which every major company wants to get a hold of that target group, these younger adults, number one is social. The number two type of ad these people tend to respond to is a streaming TV ad, followed then by that mobile device. So you're right. Not only is there an evolution in what's going on the younger generation, and as they age into the older age groups, the percent of total adult streaming is just going to continue to go up from the current 84%. It's going to keep rising.
Yeah. And Murray, let me ask not to cut you off, but
No, fine,
let
go.
me ask you, I want to ask your opinion. I mean, there are platforms like, you know, we were just talking about Prime Video, Netflix. I mean, Tubi, Tubi. There are a gazillion of them out there that are trying to lure customers. Does that, you know, going back to hearkening back to the three network world that you and I both remember fondly, and I remember MASH and Different Strokes and all
Oh, yeah.
the great shows of the 70s and 80s. But does that, the number of streaming networks, does that actually dilute and make it less effective to reach an audience because it's so bifurcated, meaning not everyone is on watching CNN or Fox, not everyone is watching whatever whatever network. Does it make it difficult for someone in your position to target these different demos that a client might want?
Yes and no. And really, it's more no than yes. And I say this because there are some powerhouses out there. For instance, according to Nielsen, right, the experts in measuring TV, and I'm going to talk now, forget that mobile device, tablets, well, I'm just talking TV set viewership. More people at any given time, right now, more people are streaming something on their television set than watching any cable or broadcast TV. Something just over 36% of everyone watching TV right now is viewing a streaming service. And one fourth of those people are specifically tuned into YouTube. And the vast majority of that is YouTube free, not the paid. I mean, so yeah, you want to reach an audience, a huge audience like the broadcast networks used to be able to do. Yeah, you've got YouTube and one or two other very strong, very, but you're right. I mean, over the course of time, fragmentation, especially amongst the lower tier, you know, they start sharing viewers and whatnot. But with digital, it almost doesn't matter, right? Think about something like real-time bidding and programmatic advertising, right? Doesn't matter where my target group is, I can hit them wherever they are. And that's a huge benefit as opposed to give me an ad on this in this cable household because the information tends to be on the head of household, which has nothing to do with his 22-year-old daughter.
It's true.
And you know, she's not going to want to watch the, you know, I don't want to get into specific advertisers and advertising, but with digital, it doesn't matter. But there are still, I mean, YouTube is unfriggin' real, pardon my language.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Murray, I want to take a very quick break because we've got to pay our advertisers,
Okay.
but when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation around streaming. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 yeah. years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Welcome back. We're joined this morning by Murray Warrenoff of Ad Taxi. Murray, thanks so much for staying with us. Really appreciate you hanging around for segment number two this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So back in the day, Murray, you know, you had the three major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and they had the lion's share of all the advertising. As you indicated, they each got a third, pretty much is how it all, you know, someone liked something on CBS, ABC, NBC. Now today, there are a gazillion, but there are clear winners, as you said. Netflix probably is a winner. Prime probably in some way, shape, or form is a winner. Not as great as maybe Netflix, Disney. But how do you make a buck in the streaming game? Because you've got ad revenue. We were talking about you're putting ads on YouTube, ads on social. You're putting ads on TV. It's difficult, I would think, to make a buck as a platform owner.
I would be more concerned about your question if I worked today in broadcast TV, which falls behind cable for share of viewing, and both of which fall behind streaming. And I say that because if you pay, let's say, $7 cost per thousand to reach a TV viewer, well, right now, you and I are working. We're not watching TV. The average person watching TV is female and over the age of 50, right? So say you want 18 to 49-year-old men. The cost of your spot did not change. So what you're really doing now is you're spending $14, $15, $16 to reach men, $25, $30 to reach men 18 to 49, throw in a household income, a propensity to purchase something, and now you're spending $75 cost per thousand. Streaming TV doesn't charge that. And the result is because advertisers chase audiences, right? This year, the percent of total ad spend going to digital is passing 77%. So the shift of ad dollars from broadcast and cable to streaming and the allocation, the vast majority of all new dollars being spent specifically going to digital, and streaming is a huge part of that. Streaming TV doesn't have a problem right now as far as showing their value, their low cost per thousand. And as we saw with ad response for when it comes to branding, when it comes to key demos, it's unreal, the return on investment. So I would be more concerned if I were a broadcast TV station today regarding your question.
Yeah. And to that point, during the pandemic, because the pandemic was very localized in certain areas, right? You always were checking in and what was closed, what was open. A lot of people gravitated back towards local, what I'll say local TV, but it wasn't really local TV, local streaming, because they wanted to get the information. They wanted to get local sites because it was so localized, that the pandemic was localized for a lot of people. Is that just a false positive, meaning it was a blip? Are people going to go back? Where are people consuming local information? Are they getting it from the streaming platforms, or are they still going to their local ABC, NBC, CBS station, whether it be digital, on digital, like a phone, or through a website or through an app?
That's a great question. Like most everything we saw digitally during the pandemic, a huge jump in e-commerce, a huge jump in streaming, right? Now, adults 55 plus, over half of them are streaming today, right? And that wasn't the case pre-pandemic. You look at almost anything digital, the pandemic caused huge jumps. But what's interesting is nothing has fallen back down to pre-COVID levels. As a matter of fact, things continue to grow. The only thing COVID did is it pushed the digital world ahead between 3 and 4 years. It's unreal. Now, what you're talking about is really interesting. You mentioned MASH. I don't remember.
I love MASH. I grew up watching MASH because I couldn't sleep. I was an insomniac, so I love MASH.
Right. And so most of the shows you're talking about, from Dick Van Dyke to whatever, you can stream today. And it's more prolific on streaming than on broadcast. There are a ton of local news channels providing their broadcasts to these streaming channels. Not everyone does it, right? But when your audiences are shrinking, you have to somehow stay in the game. And so they're offering the so a lot of what you're talking about is still being viewed, but it's being viewed via streaming. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it does. I think people, anecdotally, people that I talk to, I think people like viewing the content through the streaming platforms, assuming it's good content. We can get into, we can argue whether or not all of Netflix content is good or all of Prime content is good. I think it's very hit or miss. But what's very fascinating to me is the consumption of news, the consumption of information, and how do people get, how do people get the facts? And I think a lot of people maybe struggle with that. And a lot of what they watch is colored by their own biases and what their own prejudices are.
Absolutely. You threw me off when you said get their own facts, because a lot of news today, especially by younger folk, is being gathered via social.
Yep.
And so I don't know how factual some of that is. Some of it is, some of it, right?
Well, I agree with you. I think it's hit or miss. And I think, just in the world that I live in, when you're trying to educate people, for example, about finance, you definitely have people that kind of blend product sales. And we saw this with like Bitcoin and cryptocurrency as an example, or NFTs, where you had people advocating or saying, hey, buy this. At the same time, they get a cut. So, and that's not always disclosed. So, but that was more of a concern of, how do you get the information you're looking for that's actually factual, makes sense, and easily digestible? Murray, last question before I let you go. Ad budgets. We're going through, it's an election season. So number one, it's a big election. We've got presidential, Congress, and a third of the Senate up, local elections, et cetera. Right. How about client budgets for advertising, just generally? I'm not asking for specifics, but more this year, less this year, more targeted digitally? How are you seeing your clients spend their capital in a wise way?
A lot of money still goes to broadcast and cable for political. This typically around the month of October, going into November, and it eats up a lot of inventory. And pricing on broadcast and cable is based on supply and demand. And so for many advertisers, there, especially larger ones, there's less opportunity to air the number of spots you need to get the frequency you need. We continue to see a shift to digital, the targeting. And again, it's for streaming, we really don't change our pricing. And so the benefit, the cost savings, the efficiencies just continue to build in comparison, especially in times like you're talking about, a political season.
Yeah. And I mean, people, from what I've read, and, I want to kind of end on this note. I mean, people don't have a lot of money to spend. A lot of organizations, they want to promote their products. It's not like the Super Bowl, which used to be heralded as like the one day of the year when everyone who had capital would spend during the Super Bowl. I'm not sure that's the case anymore. They'd still spend, but it's not the same. It's not like the Apple ad of 1984, which is arguably one of the greatest ads of all time. But are people now focused on spreading the surface area throughout the year, as opposed to just maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 events during the year?
It depends on the business category and when peak sales periods occur, right? You want to go a little heavier going into a sales season and maybe go a little lighter afterwards. So that depends on the business category. But more important than the lateral January through December is the vertical. And these are terms that weren't used more than 20 years ago, of top of funnel to bottom of funnel. Even Master Lock stopped doing a Super Bowl ages ago because that wasn't creating sales. It was a brand awareness, and everyone knew who Master Lock was anyway. But today it's all about guiding the consumer to actual purchase. And so it, again, less important than left and right is up and down, starting with that awareness at the top of the funnel and guiding them through the process with, you know, whether it's social and search and streaming and whatnot, down to the actual, whether it's click and buy, which again, e-commerce, you could do 10 shows on that, or go to that retailer down the block and buy it. But that doesn't change really as far as how you plan out your annual dollars. It's based on the seasonality of your category, or if you're in a thin market versus a thick market.
Yeah. Well, Murray, I mean, it's absolutely a fascinating conversation and fascinating topic. I think it's one that we'll continue to visit. Thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest, somebody you think we should talk to, then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news and lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content? Well, then visit our website. Hey, we're back again tomorrow with another edition of BRN AM. We'll have a very special guest and another important topic. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.